two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, here we go. We got a big one today. First of all, big thanks to our friends with the Central Bar and Restaurant in Bellevue sponsoring this shindig today. We would be there, but Mike Holmgren had some personal stuff to attend to, so we'll give old Mike the day off and hopefully see him next Thursday at the Central Bar and Restaurant. If you're looking for a place to hang out, have a few cocktails before visiting Snowflake Lane in Bellevue, Central Bar and Restaurant is the place to be. I don't know about you, man. Maybe it's just me, Dick. Because I grew up Jewish, and I still am Jewish, by the way. It's not like I grew up and then, you know, became Lutheran.
Well, some people convert.
Some people do. Yeah. Some people go the opposite way, like Sammy Davis Jr., by the way. So,
what, is it a Jewish thing?
I love Snowflake Lane. I love it. I love hanging out there. I love getting the, you know, soapy snowflakes in my mouth and coughing on them. I love that whole scene with Santa Claus, and you know our friends, the Menasches at Menasche Jeter in West Seattle?
I've been to their house for Christmas before. Have you seen that house?
You know what he's doing this year?
What's he doing?
He's bringing in live reindeer.
No way! That house is awesome.
So I don't know what show it is, but every year there's a TV show that like features houses with holiday lights, and one year they like won whatever freaking contest they were doing.
I think it's the Great Light Fight.
Look up Menasche Christmas House on Google.
It's insane.
M-E-N-A-S-H-E, Menasche Christmas House on Google, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It is like it puts Clark Griswold in A Christmas Story to shame.
Just dunks on
it. It's unbelievable. The amount of money those guys spend on that thing, the amount of money they spend on their electric bill every year is crazy. But I think in late December, like before Christmas, 4 or 5 days before Christmas, the guy's going to have live freaking reindeer outside of his house.
That
if you can go check it out. Yeah, dude, hundreds of people, thousands of people coming by. I'm not kidding you. Every single day to check this guy's house out. It's amazing. And they own Menasche Jeweler in West Seattle. So big dog fans want to give them a shout out. Anyway, Matt Stretch Johnson is in Doha, Qatar. And he's going to join us at 4 o'clock today. The radio station actually paid Dick to send Stretch to Doha, by the way, for the trip to the World Cup. So what we agreed with him is that we will foot the bill, but you got to make a phone call to us at 4 o'clock today from Doha.
He's got to wake up at the middle of the night.
He is 11 hours ahead of us. It's going to be 3 o'clock in the morning there, so Stretch will join us from Doha.
Will he be sober?
Well, he was at the Belgium-Croatia game today, so there's a chance that maybe not when he comes on here with us at 3 o'clock.
Even better.
4 o'clock this afternoon. So Stretch coming up on the show. Yogi Roth going to join us on the air, and I got to be honest with you, man. I like Yogi a lot, and I kind of feel bad for what I'm about to do to him at 5 o'clock tonight, because I am irritated, man, as hell with what I heard from the Pac-12 today. First of all, I didn't even know this until I saw Puckett's tweet. You know, there was a Zoom press conference today with George Kleofkoff and Merton Hanks. Did you know that?
Yes.
At 10 o'clock this morning. And we've seen in the COVID era even plenty of Zoom calls broadcast on television, right? Plenty of Zoom calls have been put on live TV. So I hear that George Kleofkoff has a press conference, and I go to turn on the Pac-12 network to watch the George Kleofkoff press conference. Yeah. And before I turn on my television to watch the Kleofkoff press conference, I grab Twitter and I see a tweet from our pal Jason Puckett, who made me stop looking for the press conference on the Pac-12 network because they weren't carrying it. Instead of carrying the press conference, they were carrying UW's loss to ASU earlier this year. Are you kidding me? I mean, look, I understand that there's Cougar fans and Duck fans out there who laughed their ass off at that. But you tell me, from a conference perspective, when you're trying to get another team into a New Year's Six game, is that really what you want on TV? The day your commissioner's talking? First of all, it's ridiculous that this thing's not on live TV. And then second of all, it's even more ridiculous that you chose to cover it with Washington's loss to ASU. I mean, what are we doing here? Hello?
What would the SEC do? Let's ask ourselves. Let's just ask ourselves. And sometimes the Pac-12 just needs to do this. The Pac-12 just needs to ask themselves, okay, what would the SEC do in this situation? Would they play a replay of Kentucky-Tennessee, or would they carry the press conference with their commissioner leading up to the SEC championship game? Well, I think we know the answer to that question.
Look, I, I, I just think it's just another example of these guys just dropping the ball. I told you for weeks when we had all those questions about the tiebreakers that they could do a big tiebreaker special.
Yes.
Explain to people what the hell's going on. And then Merton Hanks goes on the microphone and says, yeah, we got a Heisman contender in Caleb Williams. And I'm like, hello? Hello? Like, is anybody
chop liver up here?
Anybody watching what's happening in Seattle? I'm not saying that, you know, Caleb Williams doesn't deserve the Heisman. I'm not saying that Michael Penix deserves it over him. Nobody's saying that. But how about a little help? Would a little help maybe be possible? I mean, UW is up here busting their ass to get this guy some freaking coverage, and you knuckleheads can't even mention the guy.
Well, I'll give our guy Yogi, who's coming on, credit. Yogi's trying.
Of course, Yogi's
trying for Michael Penix. Maybe the conference isn't trying for Michael Penix, but at least Yogi's on Twitter all over the place.
But that's the whole point.
Putting stats out for Michael Penix.
His bosses don't even take it seriously. And you know what else they're doing? They're slobbering all over a football team that's going to break up with them in a year.
Now that's the weirdest thing of all the things that you mentioned today, which are very weird. The weirdest thing for me today was what was up with the love affair for USC.
Ugh.
It's like a girlfriend dumps you, and then you happen to see her at a party, and you're just talking about how awesome she is, coming up to her, telling everybody how great she is. I mean, really?
Yeah.
That's how we're going to handle this for the next 2 years?
Yeah, Dick, it's like going to walk to the divorce lawyer and you're telling people how great she is. Because that's what's happening. I mean, USC is dumping you like a bad freaking habit in about a year from now. And you're sitting there slobbering all over USC and, you know, how great they are. And they got the hell with them.
God.
They're leaving the conference, man.
Now, we're rooting for them on Friday, but the big picture is screw them.
Yes, exactly. The big picture is screw them. All right, Rick Neuheisel joining us right now, courtesy of Taco Time.
Your home for college football Saturdays is live with CBS sports analyst Rick Neuheisel. Powered by Taco Time. Hungry? At Taco Time, it's easy to create exactly what you're craving. And we wouldn't have it any other way. How do you Taco Time? Customize your meal and order ahead on the Taco Time Northwest app. Taco Time. Time for something different. Now with Rick Neuheisel, here's Softy and Dick.
All right, big thanks to our friends over at Taco Time. The best way to Taco Time, you know what it is. Get the Taco Time and W app from the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store. Find out more at TacoTimeandW.com. But here he is, our friend from CBS, Rick Neuheisel, joining us right now on the radio show. How are you, man?
I'm terrific. How are you boys doing?
We're great.
Congratulations on the Apple Cup.
Yeah.
That was a tasty morsel to enjoy. And Kalen DeBoer is 1-0 in that big time game. And that's a great season for the Huskies.
Yeah,
unbelievable season.
We actually, Coach, have some breaking news. The Huskies just scored again in the Apple Cup. I want to talk about a number of issues. The Apple Cup is one of them. And, you know, you'd think I'd be in a great mood here with the Dogs at 10-2 and maybe a USC win away from Pasadena. But I am unbelievably irritated right now. All right? So just listen, you've always been way more mature than me. If you could just set me straight, that's fine. I'm pissed off.
Let's see if we can work through this.
All right? I'm pissed off that Utah jumped three spots and jumped UW after beating Colorado, after UW hammered Wazoo. I'm pissed off that Kleofkoff and Merton Hanks are slobbering all over USC today when they're leaving the conference. I'm pissed off the conference can't even get behind Michael Penix for any Heisman consideration. I'm irritated the Pac-12 Network, instead of playing Kleofkoff's presser today, was playing a replay of ASU's win over UW 6 weeks ago. I'm just all kinds of irritated now, so talk to me.
I find no fault in any of those feelings.
Yeah.
Listen, George Kleofkoff had one job when he got the job, which was to make sure that SC was staying home, that they were going to be happy, that they were going to be looking forward to the future with the Pac-12. He needed to paint a picture that was so bright that they needed sunglasses, and he couldn't do it. Or he was misled. It's not fair to put it all on him. He may have been told that everything's fine. And it just wasn't. UCLA followed SC. That's my only way of looking at that. It wouldn't have been something they would have concocted by themselves, even though the athletic director is a former Ohio State guy. I don't see them doing that on their own. And I just think they said, you know, given our financial straits, we need to go with them. And they made the move. I don't like the future for the Pac-12, but I would rather focus on what was a magnificent year for the Pac-12. And I just wish the college football playoff that we agreed to now, going to 12 teams, which should have been the place to start the college football playoff, because no one looked in a crystal ball and said, this is going to ruin some conferences, which is exactly what happened. Combined the college football playoff, leaving the Pac-12 out numerous times, as well as a television deal that wasn't, you know, neither of the programs that were, or the networks that were involved with the Pac-12 were showcasing the Pac-12. They were putting them in time slots that were not necessarily favorable in terms of to garner the national attention. It was a calamity for the Pac-12, and we put ourselves in harm's way. This new playoff, as we keep the Bryce Youngs and the C.J. Strouds and the other great players that are leaving the footprint to go to places that they see on television and are showcased, this year proved that great football can be played in the Pac-12 and great environments.
Yeah.
The scene at Autzen Stadium for the Husky game was off the charts. The scene at Rice-Eccles for Utah SC was off the charts. The Rose Bowl was cooler than you could imagine for the Trojans and the Bruins, and Martin Stadium was jumping last week. That's what this place needs. That's what the Pac-12 was built on, and unfortunately it got away from us. And I don't know what the future holds, but there is a path for everybody that stays behind.
Rick, as a coach that knows a lot about winning Apple Cups, you'd be the perfect person to ask about Saturday night's game. Are you how surprised are you that the number one ranked scoring defense in this conference got run over? 50 points, 700 yards.
You had better figure out how to cover crossing routes. And had better figure out how to cover slot receivers that are coming vertical on you and have a reroute on them. And if you don't, because you're so hell-bent to stop a running game, you are in harm's way. Ask Michigan. Ask Ohio State, as Michigan did the same thing. They went put number two, and if we talk outside receivers from the closest to the sideline in, you count one, two. So the first, closest to the sideline is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, if there's no one on his face, and he's going to be head-to-head on a safety with no help because I can occupy the backside safety, that's too much field to cover. That's one-on-one on any practice field with no one else on it. And if you can protect it, you're going to slaughter people. And Penix and company have done that over and over again this whole season, and no one has figured out a way to get someone over the top in that guy's face. And until they do, you're going to get 50 scored on you.
Yeah.
You're going to get boat raced.
Dick, say that total yardage again, please.
Yes, over 700.
Oh, God. I love it.
Hey, listen, Michael Penix, and I love your beef about Penix not being included, but that's another microcosm of the playoff.
Yeah, no doubt.
The playoff, every Heisman Trophy winner has been from the playoff teams. I think Lamar Jackson was the last one who wasn't a member of the playoff.
Right.
And
yeah.
In the playoff era, you mean?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the playoff era, I mean, Doug Flutie in 1984 was on an 8-4 Boston College team.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That because he put on this show. And Michael Penix has done just that. For a guy transferring from Indiana, you know, down and out on his luck, to do what he's done alongside Kalen DeBoer, it's been nothing short of fantastic and beautiful to watch, but unfortunately not enough people in the country have paid attention.
Yeah, RG3 won it, and Baylor had three losses, but that was before the playoff back in 2011, and they won 10 games. So you're right. If you're not in the playoff, you don't have much of a shot to get this done. But the Rose Bowl, first of all, let me talk to you about Friday night, tomorrow night. USC, I guess everybody just assumes that USC is going to beat Utah. They're only a 2.5-point favorite, by the way, so Vegas is saying it's going to be a close game. Do you see any real chance, Rick, that Utah can pull that off?
You never count out Kyle Whittingham. You never count out his team. Bowl games, it's an incredible record. Last year they took Oregon to task in this matchup, but they're not the same as last year. I like SC in this game. I've seen the Trojans hot too many times in my life to think that they're going to get derailed. There's no reason for a let-up. Caleb Williams has been magical. And if you think about the first time these two teams played, there was nearly 800 yards. I think the two teams had
points.
Well over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
Nearly 80, you know, over 80 points.
Right.
Over 800 yards passing, or close to 800 yards passing in the game. it is remarkable how good they were. Williams was, you know, brilliant, 380 or whatever it was, and he's playing better now. And he's got all of his weapons. Remember, Addison got hurt in that game. So I think that this is setting up really nicely for the Trojans. Their defense has been opportunistic in terms of the turnover margin. They're, I think, best in the country in that regard. And I just don't think you can reproduce a game where a tight end by the name of Dalton Kincaid can have 16 targets and 16 catches for 234 yards.
1,100.
I just don't see that happening.
1,100 yards of offense, by the way.
Yeah, you mean Dalton Kincaid, who wasn't even a Mackey Award finalist because he plays in this conference?
Yeah. That's... are we sitting here again talking about this weird lack of respect for the West Coast? It's just wrong.
It's unbelievable.
And I wish I could. I beat the drum so loud, guys, when I was working for the Pac-12 Network. I was on late night television, you know, saying, "What has anybody noticed that the SEC's playing, you know, this penultimate game against Samford and Mercer and the Citadel? And has anybody noticed that? And they're just watching us all eat our own, and then they're just poaching for these spots. And I can't blame the people. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Mm-hmm. But we're going to get to 12, and I just wish we could get SC and UCLA to stay back.
Well, now that we've gotten to 12 in 2024, and we're entering conference championship week where two of the current Final Four teams can probably still make the Final Four even if they lose, the other two are better off not even playing in the conference title game. So do we still need conference title games with the expanded playoff?
No, we don't. It's a money grab, and I certainly understand it, and that's why we're not going to lose it. But right now, all that can happen as we go to 12 is that Georgia could say, okay, we're going to play our second team, and LSU and Georgia could both get in. And you could get the same thing at Purdue and with Michigan. Let Purdue just have a good chance to win the game, rest your guys, both of them get in, and we start taking spots off the table because of that. I don't think it's wise to have conference championships. I think conferences can determine who their champion is via the regular season, and I think the 12 teams plus, we don't need to ask these kids to play another game if we're worried about player safety. So, but I don't think I'm going to get what I want because too much money on the table for these games.
Yeah. Well, under the old conference format, guys, meaning last year, USC and UW are playing tomorrow night for the Pac-12 championship.
And so, under the new conference, or the new 12-team format, the Huskies would be in the college football playoff.
100%. They'd be in the playoff.
Question is, do they have the two best teams going tomorrow in this conference?
Utah played well. We all understand what the deal is, but I think Washington is playing as well as anybody could ask right now, and that's why I'm hoping that they get an opportunity in that Rose Bowl.
Right. Let me ask you about that Rose Bowl. I'm glad that you brought that up because you are a former Rose Bowl MVP. That game is very near and dear to your heart. You've coached in Rose Bowls.
Love it. You've watched Rose Bowls.
You've played Rose Bowls. I think anybody who grows up on the West Coast, all of us love the Rose Bowl. It's the greatest setting in college football when it comes to bowl games, when the sun goes down, man, late in the afternoon. Unbelievable atmosphere. And we're all used to seeing Pac-12, Big Ten,
right? We all feel like we're Kevin Costner in the Field of Dreams.
That's right.
Is this heaven?
Is this heaven?
You just say, no, it's Pasadena.
But this is going to be, because the Rose Bowl agreed to be a part of the playoff starting in 2024, and next year the Rose Bowl is one of the semifinal sites for the college football playoff. This could be the last traditional Pac-12 Big Ten matchup we ever see in Rose Bowl history. What does that say to you?
Well, two more years. Next year it'll be the same. 24 starts the playoff.
Right,
but next year it's a playoff game.
Next year the Rose Bowl is one of the semifinal games.
Yeah, but it still has this window of the same window, doesn't it, on the first? This all kicks in starting in 2024.
I don't believe so. I can check on that.
No, you might know more than I do. You might know more than I do on that subject. Listen, I'm glad the Rose Bowl acquiesced because it needs to be part of this mosaic that is college football. It needs to be there. I wish the powers that be could have worked around and figured out that the Rose Bowl is the iconic brand and needs to be the finish line for college football on an annual basis, just like we have Omaha for college baseball and so forth, and Augusta for the Masters. I just wished it was, but it's not. So we live with it. But for those who are going to get to play in the granddaddy of them all, it's a memory for a lifetime, and there's nothing like it.
A little surprise in your game, your CBS game, Rick, LSU, Georgia. A little surprised to see this line. It's 17.5. Not a lot of respect being paid for old Brian Kelly. What do you think there?
Well, the last two times out, they just played uninspired. They played so beautifully against Alabama to earn their trip to Atlanta. But 13-10 to beat Arkansas in some cold weather in Fayetteville. And then last week, getting beaten badly by an A&M team that was lethargic most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brian Kelly, I was with him, interviewed him for this game this weekend. I went down to Baton Rouge. And he says, this really young team, not emotionally, you know, mature, but they'll be up for this one. And Jaden Daniels is an X-factor type quarterback. If he gets loose and starts creating with his legs, it doesn't matter who you are on defense because he can beat you, as he showed against the Crimson Tide. So it should be an interesting game. Georgia does have an X-factor of a defensive speed quotient that can usually corral teams like this. So I understand the line. I don't think I would take the game on either side of it, but hopefully we'll get a competitive one.
All right, before you go, 3-8 on the year. And I don't know about you, but 4-8 sounds a lot better than 3-9, by the way. So your Taco Time pick of the week, we did not get one last week because of Thanksgiving. Who do you got this week for us, Coach?
I was all over the Huskies last week. If you would have Dick listened to me on Tuesday, he knows I was all over the Huskies.
That's right.
So I want credit for it. Even though it never made it to this air, I was all over it.
Hey, this is a different animal here now. This is the afternoon.
This is the afternoon, and I want everybody to accept my apology that it didn't go as well as we had hoped. But I am telling you, you take the Trojans tomorrow night.
Yep.
Take the Trojans, lay the points. Watch Caleb do his thing, and then whistle all your way. Take your winnings and go buy a Rose Bowl ticket.
I love it. USC -2.5 is the play. All right, man, great stuff. We'll catch you up soon. Appreciate this.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate you guys. Happy holidays. See you now.
You as well. Rick Neuheisel taking USC -2.5. And, you know, look, every now and then you see a spread that just looks wrong. And you try and talk yourself out of it like, well, if it's too good to be true, then it must be wrong. I mean, 2.5? Are you kidding me? That seems like candy from a baby tomorrow night against Utah.
Yesterday, in fact, or fiction.
It's, you know,
what are we missing here? Let's come back and talk about that because Husky fans, we're all pulling for USC, right? I think we'd be pretty stunned if you woke up on Saturday morning and Utah was the Pac-12 champ. What am I missing here with this game? We'll talk about that coming up next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Now you don't ever have to miss one of your favorite shows. We're available anytime, anywhere. Just search our podcasts at 93.3kjr.com/podcasts.
This report is sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need.
Watch for heavy traffic northbound 5 heading through the Everett area from Highway 526 to Highway 2. The earlier crash near Arlington on Highway 530 at 139th Avenue Northeast has been cleared. All lanes have been reopened to drivers. I'm Tiama Fulton with your Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM traffic.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Visit Liberty Mutual.
And he said next year is just the semifinal.
Yep.
So
this is it.
This is it, right? I mean, you could have eventually a Pac-10 when USC and UCLA leave, Big 16 or traditional Pac-10, Big 10 matchup, but it's going to be in the playoff, right? So this could be it for the Rose Bowl for a while. On January 2nd, but good stuff from Rick Neuheisel. You missed it. Check out the podcast, by the way, on the website. Matt Johnson, our friend Stretch, is in Doha, Qatar, and he's going to join us, by the way. He was at the Belgium-Croatia game today. I want to know what it's like walking around Doha. I want to know how many pairs of underwear he brought to Qatar. So he'll join us.
All the important things.
Exactly. Right? Never mind the soccer. He'll join us at 4 o'clock today. Speaking of soccer, I believe you call it football. Brian Schmetzer will join us at 6 p.m. today. Talk about his new boss. The new GM, and then Everett Fitzhugh will join us coming up right before the Kraken Capitals tonight at about 6:15 or so. Yogi Roth will join us, and we'll ask Yogi Dick the same question I asked you last segment. You know, we're all rooting for USC tomorrow, I guess, unless you're a Utah fan. What are we missing with this line? Trojans are given 2.5. It seems like easy money. What are we doing here?
I don't think it's easy money. I would lay off this game because, I mean, let's take a look at what USC's done this year. I mean, here's the difficult teams that they have played. They lost USC, yep. Lost to Utah by 1,
right.
Beat UCLA by 3 in that right. epic game,
right.
And beat Notre Dame, who is, right. you know, a top 20 team, but not an elite team. They haven't really been faced with that big-time opposition. Now,
what has Utah done?
Well, Utah...
What has Utah really done? They lost to Oregon. They hammered a bad Colorado team, a bad Stanford team. They got a beat-down Arizona team. They barely beat Wazoo with their backup quarterback. I know that. Took USC to the limit, put up 32. I mean, look, obviously we're getting way back now to September, yeah. early October. And I agree with you. I don't think USC is this juggernaut.
Mm-mm,
I think they're the best team in the conference, but I don't think they're a juggernaut. I would be very nervous for USC if they played Georgia in the semifinals.
I think USC is slightly better than Utah, and I think Utah is on the same level with Washington.
Well, we'll ask Yogi Roth about that at 5 o'clock. Time for Fact or Fiction right now.
We're set to go. Glad you're with us.
It's your shot at our weekly $1,000 and the $10,000 grand prize. It's Fact or Fiction. Brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino, the betting capital of the Northwest. Make the beautiful new EQC Sportsbook your home all football season long. Fact or Fiction is on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
All right, we already have a big loser this week on Fact or Fiction on the radio station. Chuck Powell took the Colts minus the points against the Steelers on Monday night, by the way.
Stupid idiot.
So he's already 0-1. We are battling. We are battling Puck and Moore for the overall Fact or Fiction lead. We have gone with Minnesota minus the points against the Jets, the Patriots plus the points against Buffalo. Jackson, I think smartly so, by the way, took USC minus the 2.5 against Utah. Thursday, Dick Day, what do you got?
I love teams that can run the ball and stop the run. And that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans do. You know they can run the ball. And guess who they're playing? They're playing the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 23rd in the NFL in stopping the run at 4.7 yards per carry. If there's a weakness to the Philadelphia Eagles and their lofty little 10-1 record, it is that they can't stop the run. Well, I present to you Derrick Henry. Philadelphia Eagles, stop that. If you can't stop a mediocre run offense, how are you going to stop Derrick Henry? The Mike Vrabel-led Titans, Dave, are 17-7 all time against the spread as a field goal or more underdog, and they are getting 4.5 points. You know they like to play close games
down to the wire
in Philly. Okay. And one other thing, we all saw from the beginning of the season that the AFC was better than the NFC, right?
Yep.
This has proven out in the odds making. AFC teams, 14-7 against the spread this year as an underdog against the NFC. Give me the underdog Tennessee Titans against an NFC team who is good, but not as good as their record. Yeah. Tennessee might even win this game straight up, but they're getting 4.5.
Well, the Eagles are also 0.2 yards away from the top half in the NFL in rushing defense.
Not yards per carry, they're 23rd.
Two-tenths of a yard.
I got
4.7 to 4.5 would put them in the top half of the NFL. So the difference is not that much, but look, you're right. If there is a chink in the Eagle armor, it's stopping the run. There's no question about that. And they have played some close games, Philadelphia, and they found a way to win most of them in the fourth quarter. You think at some point they're going to get pushed again by somebody. They got one loss so far this year, but I like it. I like it a lot, as a matter of fact, and I think Philadelphia probably is looking at this game as one of those games where they just say, hey, AFC opponent, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We're playing home. We're going to get stale. I don't know. I just think the Titans can catch them napping this week, so I like it.
And I like what, you know, Philadelphia has got a tremendous running game. I mean, that's how they want to beat you. They want to run the ball against. They don't want to rely on Jalen Hurts throwing the ball 40 times. Tennessee's number 2 in the NFL in stopping the run.
Right.
Philadelphia's going to have a tough time moving the ball on the ground. Jalen Hurts is going to have to beat them through the air with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Yeah, he can do that. What's the total in that game, by the way? I'd be curious about that.
I don't
that.
Know, but I'd take the under, whatever it is, unless it's like 40.
So we're taking Tennessee plus 4.5, correct?
Yep.
Against the Eagles this week. You like it, text in fact. You hate it, text in fiction. The 49451 right now.
Ooh, 44 and a half.
By our friends at the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Pacific Northwest. Make the beautiful brand new EQC Sportsbook your betting home all season long. 44 and a half, is that right? Yeah, under in that bad boy for sure. Game. All right, 340. That's the pick. Titans plus the point. Get him in right now to 49451. Fact or fiction, Matt Stretch Johnson is going to join us from Doha, Qatar. I believe this will be the furthest away a guest has ever been while appearing on this radio station. Well, wait a minute. Has anybody ever come on from like Australia? Live from Australia?
I don't even know if that's further than Qatar, though.
Qatar would be much further.
How far is Qatar from Seattle, Washington? Look that up. We'll talk about that. Matt joining us at 4 o'clock today from the World Cup, coming up on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
To the 12th man, when he speaks, everyone listens.
It's a learning curve right now. They want to be something. They're not close to being that yet.
Don't miss Coach Mike Holmgren, Mondays at 9, Wednesdays at 2, Thursdays at 4, and Friday mornings at 9:30 on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
This report is sponsored by Ancestry.com.
Watch for a crash in Seattle westbound on the West Seattle Bridge. Just before Highway 99, it's blocking
the old What's on the Show with Matt Stretch Johnson.
Absolutely.
Remember those?
Matt Stretch Johnson.
I think this is what I'm looking for here. I'm not sure. Hang on.
This is Jeff Nelson of the Mariners. It's time for What's on the Show with Matt Stretch Johnson. Matt Stretch Johnson. Matt Stretch Johnson. Matt Stretch Johnson!
That guy is going to join us coming up from Qatar at 4 o'clock.
That's
how about
great.
That?
That's
how about
great. That? We had him on last week on the morning show before he left to give us a little World Cup breakdown. So now we have to hear him on location.
Hey, how about this one? Here's a oldie but goodie for you. Ready?
Hi, this is Joe Piscopo on Sports Radio 950 KJR. And now the chairman of the board. Hey, baby. Thanks, Joey. And now it's time for What's on the Show with Matt Stretch Johnson. I said Matt Stretch Johnson. That's Matt Stretch Johnson, baby.
How cool is that?
Very awesome.
Oh, God. The fact that we have those is a freaking victory, by
the
way.
It is.
That is a massive, massive victory. So USC, Utah tomorrow night for the Pac-12 championship. USC wins. Huskies most certainly will head to the Rose Bowl. Utah wins. Who knows? They could go to the Alamo Bowl. They can go to the Holiday Bowl. It's all up in the air, I guess, for UW if they get this, Utah gets this tomorrow. But I'll tell you what, dude, for me, it's all gravy. I mean, you're 10-2. You beat the Cougs. You beat Oregon. You more than doubled your wins from last year. How disappointed will Husky fans truly be at this point if Utah wins tomorrow night and UW doesn't go to Pasadena?
Oh, slightly, but I don't think it does nothing to diminish what they accomplished this year because it's out of their hands right now.
Exactly.
So,
correct.
I mean, nothing could happen between now. I mean, even if you were to lose the Alamo Bowl, lose the Rose Bowl, what have you, play a terrible game and finish 10-3, it's still better than anybody ever expected.
Yeah, that actually brings up a great question. Would you rather go to the Rose Bowl, play terribly against Penn State, Ohio State, whoever, or go to the Holiday Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, beat Florida State and hang 50 on somebody?
Well, my initial gut would be Rose Bowl, but then I remembered how embarrassing the Ohio State game was a few years ago. That was, at halftime, I was like, we don't belong on the same planet with this team. Now, I don't
same thing?
That wouldn't be the case this year.
I hope not.
I think they would belong on the same. This offense is so good, and we've seen how, if they do play Ohio State, we've seen how mediocre that defense is. So it wouldn't be a situation like the Ohio State game last time where you just can't get anything going offensively and it's 23-3 and it feels like it's 60-3 at halftime.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, I would tend to agree with you, but I mean, you never know, right? If they played a team like an Ohio State or a Penn State, and I don't think they're going to see Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. The word is that the Buckeyes have already asked to not be selected, by the way, if they don't go to the college football playoff.
Where would they want to go?
Not there, because they were just there last year. Gator Bowl, whatever. Outback Bowl somewhere else, a different New Year's
Six
game.
You'd rather go to one of those bowls than the Rose Bowl?
I'm just telling you what Nicole Arbach tweeted yesterday. She reported that Ohio State has asked the Rose Bowl committee to not take them if they don't end up in the playoff. So
well, screw them.
There you go. Well, look, I mean, I don't give a damn what they do. I'm just telling you that if they do end up going to the Rose Bowl, they're not going to want to be there. They may not want to be there anyway. And they may not want to be in any bowl game they play because 2 weeks ago they thought they're going to play for a national championship.
Well, and that's another reason why I think the Huskies would have a great chance against them. Because not only are they're not as talented, but they can hang. Yeah. Unlike they were able to hang in 2019's Rose Bowl, they will be able to hang with Ohio State. And you put that together with the fact that Ohio State wouldn't want to be there. And you know what you got? You got Washington against Nebraska in the Holiday Bowl in 2009. That's or 2010. That's what you got. You got a team that didn't want to be there against a team that was thrilled to be there. And the team that was thrilled to be there kicked their ass.
Well, I don't know if Ohio State's defense is as bad as you're making them out to be. Yeah. I think Michigan might just be that good. I mean, they had an off day against the Wolverines. They gave up 30 to Maryland in the previous week, 31 to Penn State about a month and a half ago in a 44-31 loss or win, sorry. And that's about it. I mean, their defense, for the most part, has been pretty good the entire year. Now, they may not have seen an offense or a quarterback like Michael Penix. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know if there's a Caleb Williams or a Michael Penix like that in the Big Ten. C.J. Stroud may be the closest thing to it, and he plays for them. So they run the ball in that conference, and they play smash-mouth football. And Michigan was just tougher, and they were way more physical than Ohio State was in that game. You saw that game. It was a beatdown physically in the second half of that game by the Wolverines. So I just know this. If Ohio State and UW played, first of all, I'd take the over in that game. Whatever the over is, I'm taking it in that game. And then second of all, you put a poll out today asking people about their thoughts on Kalen DeBoer.
Update on the poll.
I think it's a great question, and I think I have a great answer.
Well, the question's simply this, because now that Kalen DeBoer's here, Ryan Grubb's here, he's signed on, ready to go. I just said under the new 12-team college football format, UW football under Kalen DeBoer will be a regular playoff team, occasional playoff team, or rarely slash never in the playoffs.
And that's under the 12-team format.
12-team format.
Right? Okay,
yes.
So first of all, I would answer it this way. Do you think that Washington's chances of winning a 10-team conference will go up or down once USC and UCLA take off?
Mathematically, it goes up.
Correct. They'll go up. So as long as you're not one of the ranked teams that's 7 or below, right? So you're talking about, okay, there's 5 Power 5 teams, and there's 5 Group of 5 conferences, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So as long as there's not 2 Group of 5 conference champions that are ranked ahead of the Pac-10 champion is going to go every single year automatically.
That's right.
Because the top 6 teams ranked go from the Power 5 and Group of 5 combined. So UW has already increased their odds of winning the conference because USC and UCLA are gone. And as long as they're not an 8-4 conference champion like Stanford was in 2000 or 99, then they're going to go. So I think that if we're comparing it to what they've been doing, the odds have got to be higher. A regular attendee in the playoff, what does that mean to you? Like one of every 2 years they're going?
Yeah.
2 of every 4? 5 of every 10?
Yeah, like we consider, for example, we consider Ohio State, Alabama,
right?
Those teams, Clemson, regular college football playoff teams.
Right.
Is Washington one of those teams when you expand it to 12?
I believe that they're going to be. Yeah, because there's 12 teams going. I mean, to me, it's kind of a simple question. If you're not a regular participant, and if our definition of regular is 50% of the time, right? 5 of every 10 years, you're
in the
college football playoff. If that's not happening and you're there twice in a decade or 3 times in a decade, I don't think anybody's going to be happy with that.
So it's basically, it sounds to me like it's basically what our expectations are for the Husky basketball team getting into the tournament. Like, once every 2 years, if you're in the tournament, that's kind of been par for the course the last 15-20 years.
I don't even know what our standards are for them anymore, to be honest with
you. That's fair.
I mean, really, they should be in the top half of the conference and fighting for a tournament spot or in the tournament probably 75% of the time. There's 68 damn teams that go. And the fact that they can't be one of them three of every 4 years. But how many conference championships have the Huskies won in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years? They've won two since 2016. So right away, you're talking about, you know, two in the last six seasons. They would have been there. And then you got a chance to be there as a wild card.
It'd be three and six.
Yeah, right. So I think one in every 2 years, five of every 10, three of every six, whatever, you're in the playoff. If that's regular to you, whatever your definition is,
that's the bottom.
Then I would say yes.
Yes, that's the. Yes. I would say that's the lowest level of regular is 50% of the time, and then the next one was occasional playoff team. That's more like you know 30% to 50% of the season.
I'll just say this: at my age, if I can feel regular half the time, I think I'm doing pretty good. We'll get a break. Matt Stretch Johnson is going to be in Doha, Qatar. He's going to join us next, and he's paying for the phone call, baby. What's it like out there? Has he gotten in trouble yet? Did he pack extra clothes? Did he travel light? We'll find out next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.